What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Broke Down Garage. It's me, Brent Gill, with my man, Jake Becker.
Hey, everybody. Hey,
you doing well?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
You're sounding a lot better than we did at the start of the pod, so that's a plus.
I got really high, and I took like two Excedrin before we started the pod.
Boom shakalaka. It's like a whole different Jake Becker over there. Got a fun episode. We're talking about the Corvette E-Ray today. We're talking about some hate for the Land Cruiser that Jake loves so much. Talking about self-driving cars, going back to the dealership if you don't have payments. Also, Jake, we thought fucked his Buick up. Turns out, it's his carburetor. All that and more on this fantastic episode, Broke Down Garage. Let's get it.
Yeah.
What's so cool about the E-Ray or hatred?
Oh, I love it. I thought I was going to hate it. Now I'm in love.
Is it full electric?
No.
Is it hybrid?
Yeah.
It's got a V engine. What's the motor? $119,000. What is the... What's the deal with the E-Ray?
It's got the 6.2 liter, so that's the LS3, right? Yeah. It's an LS3 with 160 horsepower electric motor up front that can assist. It's got the battery on the bottom. They did a bunch of like really cool carbon shit on the frame. I don't know, man. I can't stop watching videos on it. It's got like a luxury ride into 0 to 60 in 2.6 seconds.
Whoa. All right, I'll let you inform me and the uninformed viewers about it.
Well, I'm excited for reasons other than this car, too.
Just for the technology of it?
No, just because like I know this isn't the ultimate version of this car. Like, this is the base model for the electric Corvette. Just like there's a Z06.
It's the first one. It's the M1 chip for Apple.
Right. And just like with all Corvettes, there's been rumors of a model they're calling the Zora for years. And everybody thinks it's going to be like the bad daddy hybrid one. It's going to be pushing more power than God.
Hmm.
Because Zora was the shit. And they're trying to honor his legacy because I think if he thought he would have gotten away with it, he probably would have killed Nader in the 60s for fucking up his mid-engine Corvette program.
I know how you feel about Bob Nader, old Ralph Nader. I call him Bob for some reason. Who is Zorro? Zora.
Zora is the crazy motherfucker that was the engineer on the Stingrays.
On the original Stingrays?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He had a crazy name. What was it? Zora Arkus Duntov.
Zora Arkus Duntov?
But they think the Zora is going to be like over 1,000 horsepower.
Jesus. I mean, 1,000 horsepower is the new 500. Remember back in the day, 500 was all you needed. Now it's like 1,000 is all you need. But with how heavy those batteries are, as we discussed last week on the episode.
It doesn't even matter, though. The cars hook up so much better now than they did in the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah. With the exception of my car. I can't get that thing to fucking hook. I can just get it to wheel hop. Yeah, Jake, well,
you're hooking up so good. It's wheel hopping. That is hooking up.
I did. Yeah.
That's a suspension issue.
It might be.
Yeah.
It might be. That is the one part of the car that we did not do, was we did not work on the suspension, which I, you know, fine. Cause I wanted to feel a before and after. So we're talking about the E46. I wanted to feel like, what does this feel like now? And then what does it feel like after I really dial in the suspension?
Right.
I don't know if that's, it'll probably be, it's all my things to do. I'll tell you that much, but before we get too distracted, let's finish this thought on the E-Ray.
Yeah.
Cause I didn't know that they were actually going to come out with one of these. So it's a hybrid, it's a full hybrid. It's got the 6.2 liter V8.
Yep.
And an 8-speed dual clutch transmission. The batteries are below. I mean, why are you creaming your jeans over this?
Because it's like because when they drive it, it's putting up better than Z06 numbers, but in like luxury mode. So it just gets me excited that Chevy's about to like really come out and point at the fence like Babe Ruth and hammer a Corvette into everyone's asses. That's like, hey, you know how usually it's just like you can't buy anything for less than 4 times the cost that's as good of one of our cars? Now you can't buy anything less than $2 million that's better than our fucking car. Have fun. See y'all at the fucking track.
You think these are going to get banned like the Dodge Demon did?
Not from the GT races, because it qualifies. Fair. The Challenger sucks and was only ever allowed to drag race because it was on a 30-year-old chassis. So it wouldn't have passed safety for any other league.
Yeah, that's probably fair. This thing, I mean, so first of all, I don't know how you feel about the new C8, but I've been in love with it since the moment it came out.
I want a brown one with yellow stripes so bad.
I think they look so cool. They're such a cool-looking car. I hate how the old men have just ruined it already, but it is what it is. It's, you know, what are you going to do about it? But it just looks so sexy, and the fact that now you can have a car that is, what is it saying, 655 horsepower, combined overall horsepower. I mean, that just...
So if it's doing 0 to 60 in 2.5, what do you think the 1,000-plus horsepower one's about to lay down?
I mean, in theory, it would have to be the same. I don't know how you would get more traction. It's just like Tesla. It's like, yeah, you can have this instant torque, but you can't. I mean,
it's like Tesla with an R&D department worth as much as Tesla.
Yeah.
They can torque vector. The new one, like, you can't peel out in it. There's like a mode you can put it into drift, but like, no, they've got it dialed the fuck in, man. Again, because they didn't waste any money developing the LS3 that powers the fucking thing.
Yeah.
They were able to put a lot of attention and money towards other aspects of the car that most of these new hybrids don't get, because they're also developing new motors for them.
Do you think that they're going to put the same one that's in the Z06 in this one with the flat plane crank?
No, I think it'll get something different.
That flat plane crank one sounds so cool.
It does. I like it a lot.
Have you heard it side by side to the other one?
Yeah, it's nuts. It sounds like a fucking Ferrari.
It does. It sounds so cool. It sounds so cool.
But the Zora, I think it's just going to be a giant supercharged LS monster that's bored within an inch of its life. And then they're going to hook it up probably to two of those motors like the one you have now and just put them on separate axles.
Good God.
So you'd have like 320 up front and then like, you know, 800 in the back and be ready to just go dance on everyone's grave. I'm so excited for this.
Let me ask you this. Are you looking at the website?
No, I'm just going off the dome.
I'm looking at a website here. I don't understand why the rear axles look so completely different. Like the right rear axle, the passenger side rear axle looks way thicker and shorter than the left rear axle.
Well, there's a transmission back there.
Okay.
On the E-Ray or the regular Corvette?
The E-Ray.
Oh, I'm sure it has to do with all kinds of weird reasons.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I want to know, Jake.
I'm trying to pull it up. Hold on.
Here, I just sent you the link in the whatchamacallit. I mean, to me, when you look at it, it's like so much thicker. I wonder if it almost makes me think like, well, there, and I know they don't, but it's like, well, they got an open differential, so they're going to send all the power to that one. I don't know. It's kind of odd that that's so much bigger.
Let me see this picture. I'm clicking on your link. Hold on. because there's nothing that's given me any answers. And it has a stealth mode, so you can roll out of your fucking neighborhood at like silence up to 45 miles an hour, so you're not the guy who all your neighbors hate with your big old hot rod.
Jesus fucking Christ, I got a goddamn cable wrapped around my fucking foot.
Better God than your neck. Damn. Where's Jesus. This picture? What portion of the page is this picture of the axle on, Brent?
Sorry, I had to switch cables. I got mad. It's on the bottom when you see this grip or this the engine, the transmission, the battery, the electric drive unit, all-wheel drive. You see like these renderings and these technical drawings.
Yeah.
You see the motor, you see the passenger axle and the driver axle, both in the rear.
Yeah.
Why is it the passenger side so much thicker? You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's hard to see in this ghost image. But it does.
I mean, even when you turn it up to another,
it's like because it's because of the transmission. You can see that there's more bulk coming off the right hand side of the transmission portion. Whereas on the left hand side, it's just a straight up knuckle on the driver's side.
Gotcha.
And then on the passenger side, you see that big flange that's coming out.
Yeah, so it's just a bulky tranny.
So it's just compensating for the lost distance for that transmission by adding bulk to the rod so that its resistance is the same, I'm sure.
Jake Becker, ladies and gentlemen.
Because, yeah, that tranny Jake. Is tricky as shit, especially with the electric shit in there. And how small that battery pack is just running down the fucking tunnel.
Yeah, dude.
And it's got all-wheel drive, but not really.
Did Corvette completely change the game? Like, did Chevy completely change the game with this Corvette? Are other manufacturers going to have to drop their price
to No. compete? That's what's hilarious and has always been true of the Corvette. Just because it's three times better at a third of the price means nothing, because Ferrari can't afford to drop their price. McLaren can't afford to drop their price. Nobody's ever been able to afford to fucking actually go and compete with the Corvette. Ever. Ever. The closest anybody got was that first Elise.
The Lotus. That little tiny roadster.
Yeah, that's the closest anybody ever got to fucking with the Corvette for the money. And all you had to give up was carpet and sound deadening and insulation and a heater and a radio that worked and a seating position that didn't suck and headroom and storage for a bag on a trip. And so they could build it to compete with the Corvette at that price. They just literally had to get every part of it that made it something you wanted if you weren't you or me.
How is Chevy doing this then?
Because that motor?
Because they don't have to put any R&D in the motor because no. The motor's set.
It's an LS3 that came out in 2007. It's fucking old, dog, and they're still whooping everybody's ass with it. That's what's up. And they're not doing some dumb demon version that's bored all the way the fuck out that's only going to be good for like 70,000 miles. They're still building like the reliable version of it. Like they're not going for like their last Hail Mary. They're building a good version of the LS motor and still like... Hey, guys, did you see that we're using that 20-year-old motor and we're still fucking you in your ass? Cool. The LaFerrari's real neat. Did you see how quick our Corvette is?
How good is the Corvette doing on tracks? Like, how is it on the Nürburgring?
I don't think anybody's taken the E-Ray there yet because it's just...
Just the C8, like the Z06.
Oh, I think it ate everyone's lunch.
Really?
Yeah, check it out. I think they said that they're done tuning cars for the Nürburgring. 729. All right,
729.
Yeah, so it runs the same as like an SLS Black Series or an MP412C. Both like almost million-dollar cars in resale.
I don't know if I know the Black Series.
Yeah, that's because it's only offered to people. They don't tell poor people about the Black Series. That's a secret.
Oh, the AMG. Oh, okay, gotcha.
It's the AMG, basically.
It's the AMG of the AMGs.
Well, it's like a real AMG, because after Mercedes bought AMG and made it an in-house product, they kind of dumbed it down. And so they don't get to go as hard in the fucking paint as they used to. But every once in a while, they let them do a black label or a black series car, which is just like, we didn't even go in there to see what they was doing. Like the Germans let them go nuts. This is the hammer shit, where the AMG engineers got to be like, I don't care if it runs good in the cold. Want to see how fast it goes?
I mean, this thing, it says that they only made it for 1 year in 2014, and also they said it's it was 230,000 euros.
New.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but they made like 30.
It's gone up in price.
Oh, yeah, they've made like 30 of them, and if you want one, you've got to pay out your asshole for it, because they don't advertise them. They only sell them to people who collect the cars. Yeah, and a $60,000 Corvette runs the same lap time. The base model Corvette, the base model Corvette, not even the Z06 or the E-Ray, or the ZL1 that's or the Z51 that's coming, or the Zora that's coming. So none of the top three tiers or top five tiers are even competing in this. The cheapest Corvette fucks with one of the most desirable supercars of the last 20 years. That's what it is, man. Like, that's, they're not listing off the counter Ferraris at that time. They're not listing really good McLarens.
I mean, in all, like, with all due respect to Merck here, it is 4 seconds faster.
Oh yeah, that's, I mean, that's a lot of time.
That's an eternity.
Yeah, that's a shitload of time.
But it is double. I mean, more than that now, I guess, price wise. That is fucking
new. It was 4 times the price without inflation
compared to the base model.
Yeah, that they ran on the Nürburgring. So really, probably more like 6 to 8 times the price with inflation.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
Dude,
I mean, do you think
insane.
So? But you're not a fan of EV. Obviously, we've talked about this. And this is not an EV. It's a hybrid, which I'm a big fan of these hybrids.
Yeah.
I think that's the answer to, you know, especially like our emissions problems and all this shit as well. But is this just more part of the problem, or
no.
Not so much? Is this just like a little motor, a little energy, or like a little e motor to go with this huge whomping V8 LS3?
Yeah, and it's already a really efficient V8. It's more efficient than 6 cylinders were 15 years ago. And doing this sequential or assistant hybrids are great, because that makes it to where, like, you're not using the gas motor for high torque situations off the line, which are like hard on emissions and not efficient. You're supplementing all the shit that's not as good and like insurmountable about the combustion engine to engineer around and make better by having this electric assist, but also not making it to where at any point would you be fucked in line for like 4 hours at a charging station and on I-25 because you decided to go see a concert.
How much do you think they're going to charge for this bad boy?
It's like 104.
I think they said 110.
I think it's 111 for the convertible and 104 for the base.
That sounds right.
Which has a removable top. So if you pay the
extra money. Which they're both convertibles.
Yeah, exactly. If you pay the extra money to get the cloth removable top instead of the carbon fiber removable top, I just want you to know I think you're stupid. I don't.
Now, Jake, now I have to be on the stupid people side here.
Why?
Because because I looked into this, because I almost bought one of these to rent on Turo in LA when they first came out, because you could get them from Middle America for $62,000.
Yeah.
So I looked into this, and the convertible, yes, the top does come off of the non-convertible one, but because of how the back is structured, it's a aggressive knock around of wind. Like, you're just getting pummeled by wind. The convertible, they changed the whole backside of it for the convertible, and it's a lot better.
They changed the buttresses and the cover on the motor like halfway through the first year, so the hard tops don't have a problem with that anymore.
Gotcha.
None of them collect water on top of the motor anymore, which isn't an issue. It just bothered Corvette people because it made shit look dirty. It
looked ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Chevy paid an engineer to fix a complaint from a bunch of old guys wearing New Balances who were worried they weren't going to get pussy because the motor hiding in their car was dirty.
From their mistress or from their wife? Because
from their imaginary girlfriend that works on Fox News. There's no chance these guys are getting laid unless they're fully getting used. The guys you see pulling up with their Corvette with their knee-high white socks and their like early onset scoliosis at the car shows aren't pulling the ass they went there to pull.
Oh man, I think that's gonna be dope, dude. I do love the hybrid technology. Of putting, you know, hybrids and fucking muscle behind it. So I'm excited to see what this comes out as. You know, there was also a bunch of hate, by the way. I sent you this video of that dude hating on the Land Cruiser for their puny little motor.
Yeah, he's dumb. The donut guys agree with me.
Do you think he's just old?
No. See, this is the problem. This is why I'm saying he's dumb, is that this guy fell in love with a single generation of a car that's been around for 60 years and thinks that's the only way it should be. This would be like if the last Mustang was the Mustang II built on a Pinto, and then they went back to building a regular Mustang, and you had some idiot on the internet going like, it's too big now. I don't like it. It's not what I fell in love with. And I don't have any fundamental understanding of what this product is or what it stands for, but I don't think this is it. I'm mad. That's what that guy was doing. They made it smaller and less luxurious. Oh, you mean like an off-road vehicle for all seasons everywhere on the planet? Instead of a giant overweight fucking luxury vehicle that it turned into at the end? Oh, you're mad about the thing they consciously did and acting like it's something they tried to sneak in on us? They wrote about it in their fucking own webpage. Like, hey, we know we let it grow too big and kind of did the thing that all the Americans do and just kept making our trucks bigger and bigger. We're fucking sorry. We fixed it. Here's a Land Cruiser the exact size it was 35 years ago and every series before that.
I think he's mad that it doesn't have a V8. I know several people that talk about their Forerunners that are like, I missed my V8.
Yeah, you know how Toyota's known for their V8s. That's the best motor they build. It's not their fucking sixes or anything that they've always had. It's the motor they only build in the United States to appease us. That's the best motor they make. The one they give the least amount of thought to. The one they spend the least amount of money researching and developing. The one that they only use on our fucking trucks. That's the one they should have kept. Everybody's right. We should have inferior products just to make us feel like men from the 60s.
Ooh, my big American penis. Ooh.
Yeah, it's like, you know what else they did when they got rid of the V8? They shrank the fucking truck back down to where it's supposed to be. So you don't need that to lug around all the sound deadening that they took out, because now it's no longer for rappers. It went back to being for granola guys. Yeah, and the Lexus is coming with a turbocharged 6 instead of the turbocharged 4. And other than that, they're like the same vehicle because they're not over-luxuriating the Lexus.
The Lexus Land Cruiser is going to be a 6 instead of a 4.
It is, yeah.
So they are going to offer that bigger motor. Is that just for Lexus?
Just in the Lexus, but really, like, I think you get like a slightly better leather. It's going to be more of the difference between like a 1993 Acura and a 1993 Honda than it was the difference between a Land Cruiser and a Lexus 4 years ago. You get what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's not going to be a bunch of wood pasted on everything. It's going to be like, oh, you know, this seat's I think it's a little softer.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit more get up and go. That's going to be the luxurious part of it. It's not going to be through the fucking
slightly better roof. Sound system or a name brand. It'll have like a Bose or a Harman Kardon.
I don't even know if they're going to do a better sound system than the premium sound system on the other one. I bet they just put slightly more sound deadening in it. Slightly.
Okay. Dude, I had a 98, my first car was a 1998 Acura SLX. It was the Isuzu Trooper, is what it was. And my buddy, his dad had the top end Isuzu Trooper, and we got in that. And I was like, this feels the exact same fucking, this is like the exact same as my Acura.
Yeah.
And I could not figure out, the only thing I could figure out was that, mine had a Bose sound system, and maybe the leather was a little bit nicer.
Yeah. That's,
I also had the package from the dealer with like the brush guard and shit like that, but.
And I bet yours did have a little bit more sound deadening than the Isuzu. Like, gotcha. I bet if you drove it over crunchy snow or really bad gravel, you'd be like, oh, fuck, mine is a lot quieter.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. It wouldn't be an all-the-time notice thing. That's what I mean. Like, it'll be a little bit everywhere, so that if you're in a bad situation, it helps a lot, but in a normal situation, it helps a little.
At that point, you're just showing off how much extra money you have.
Yeah, but I don't think back then they didn't go over the top. The last Lexus, you were showing off how much money you had when you were buying.
I mean, between 90. These two, like these new ones, this new Land Cruiser and the new Lexus, I feel like it's just going to be a money flex.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be mostly over, are you comfortable with the four cylinder or do you want the six pot?
Gotcha.
Because that's why I don't think they're going to do too much distinguishing between them. This is the first time Lexus has done a version of the car, of the truck, that isn't on the overgrown last two chassis. Right. So this is going to be really kind of the first time we get a real Lexus Land Cruiser that's not an American Lexus Land Cruiser.
Like the ones from the early 2000s?
No, like the ones from the late 80s.
Lexus had those?
No, oh no. Lexus has started on like the 92, 93, 94 model.
Yeah. Weren't those dope, or was that also too overgrown in your opinion?
Those were like the combination. Those are too big and they're too luxurious, even on the Toyota model, and they still were pretty capable. And then the one after that was way too big, not nearly capable enough, and way, way too luxurious. But the one late before 90s one
was dope.
Yeah, but the late 80s one is way better. I'd rather have it in any situation where I needed a Land Cruiser. Other than moving
to cruise the land,
as long as I wasn't trying to pack a dresser in the fucker, I'd want the older Land Cruiser for literally every other reason.
I guess that's a good move on Toyota's part, moving the bigger motor, not offering it here. If you want the bigger motor, buy the better car. End of story.
Yeah,
I don't hate this move.
No, it's genius. Well, it's they're doing one motor in both cars.
I like that.
That simplifies production. There's no fucking around. Nope. Yeah. Very easy. Fuck. I don't know what this is. It might be my insurance agent. Hold on.
That's a scam for sure.
I know.
Coinbase will never call you. They just want to keep your money.
I know. I'm just trying to. My insurance agents keep calling me from different weird numbers. So I've been answering for everything, even shit I normally wouldn't answer for.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. What happened to your Buick, by the way? Let's talk about that. You've had a tough couple days here. Buddy, your Buick.
It's been literally every day since I got back from Japan.
What happened, dude? This is what happened. So this is exactly what happened. You said you wanted to buy that E36 LS swap.
Uh-huh.
And then your Buick was like, you just bought a truck. And your Buick was like, fine, I don't want to be with you either. And then it shit the bed. Isn't that what happened?
No, it didn't. So when my carb went bad at the last time I was in the shop, I don't know if you remember, the fix ended up being that I had them tap out the air screws and put ones from a different carb in it that fit better.
Mm-hmm.
So my carb's on its last fucking legs, right? So I was afraid my car was broken down much worse than it was. Turns out it ran out of gas. Now, for that to have happened, that means I went from getting 20 miles to the gallon to getting 3.7.
That's not good.
No. So my carb was fucking up really bad between the cold, the barometric pressure changing with the storm chasing me at my back. And those two factors were enough that it was my carb was sticking open and just draining fucking fuel. And I did feel like my carb was running a little fast. But I was like, maybe it's just the cold. It's just running a little tight because that happens in a lot of vehicles.
Yeah, I got some thicker air.
Yeah. So I thought it was that and the fucker was running good, but it ran out of gas. And the next day I thought about it and was like, I'm going to go put gas in it before I pay for another tow, because I'd be mad if this was it, and sure as shit it started. And then I like immediately sat down and did the math while it was warming up and was like, oh fuck, I got like 3.7 miles to the gallon to run out of gas that fast.
And it's just because your car was just open? Because it's old?
No, it's because the math. So you know the carb on a pipe?
He just got so mad.
No, I was looking for my pipe so I could explain it to you in a way that you'd really, really get it. But you know,
Carb on a pipe. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, the carb on a pipe, like, right. You know how like adjusting the size of the intake and the flow changes everything. It changes the amount of exhaust that'll come out the carb when you're done. It'll change the amount of intake, how long it sits, how long it stagnates, what the flow rate is. So like just that math being off from factory and custom meant that like, other variations going into play, like there being a crazy snowstorm behind me and like a 40 degree temperature drop and the barometric pressure drop, because it's like not unheard of to get a little bit worse mileage during temperature changes, but like a little bit, like I normally go from like 20 to maybe like 17, so not something I needed to be like fucking worried about. And then this was bad. Like, I had just gassed up. That's why it didn't even go through my head that it could have been gas. I had just put gas in the fucking car.
So what's the fix here? You got to get a new carb.
No, fuck you. Oh, carb? I thought you said car.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. I got to find a new – well, I got to find a new old stock carb.
Can you not go to Holley or something and just get one of those?
I could, but I really enjoy being a real boy.
You're the worst.
I'm no Pinocchio. No. Because of my motor being like its own thing, a Nailhead Hemi V8 Buick, like so much about my motor is different than other motors that there's really not as interchangeable of a fix until I go to Fuelie.
Why are you not going to go fuel injection?
Well, because I just don't have like $6,000 lying around right now.
Yeah, but you were going to go spend $19,000 on an E36.
Right. Uh-huh. And that does like a whole new thing, right? That's like a whole new E36 as opposed to a fuel injection system. Or I could just get a new carb for like $600 and save $3,400 and it do the same
shit. I guess.
Yeah. And also like most banks aren't cool about giving you a loan for a fuel injection system. They're way cooler about loans for cars than they are loans for parts.
What happened to that E36? It sold?
It sold. It was a treasure.
Were you really going to get it, though? Like, truly?
I was pretty into the idea.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, tell us about it, because I'm probably going to sell my Z3.
Yeah, and if your Z3 had a top on it, weld the top on it, I'll buy it. No.
You can weld the top on it after you buy it.
I just rip the fucking panels off and buy a junked up clown shoe and just put the body on it. I don't want a convertible. No. I don't want a convertible that fast. Let me be.
It's so fun to drive. Well, that is the scary part. Like when you get over 100, it is... it's a little squirrely. Like, at least with the E46, when you're going like 100, 130, it feels so stable. This thing, it's just such a short wheelbase. It feels so squirrely.
It's a short wheelbase, and there's no fucking roof support. That's most of the squirreliness. Yeah, there's none of that either. Because I think your wheelbase is a matter of inches.
Maybe. I mean, when they're side by side, it feels like it's pretty big. I mean, it's no more than 6 inches.
The body. No, I don't think it's very much because the Z3 and the E36.
It's the same chassis. It's the
same chassis. And they didn't grow the 3 Series that much between the 36 and the 46.
Interesting. That thing, when I was at the racetrack at High Plains Raceway, and I hit that half mile straightaway, and I don't know exactly how fast I was going because I learned that the speedometer isn't 100% accurate, especially the faster you're going, the less accurate it is. So I looked down and I was going like 120 on the speedometer, which means I was probably going like 140, 150. I mean, it was fucking fast. And then I had to completely just trust my brakes to hit that 90 degree right turn. And I got to say, it's kind of scary when your motor is screaming at you that loud. There's just so much noise. There's a bunch of wind. There's a bunch of motor. There's a bunch of fucking right turn coming up. It's a lot.
It is a lot.
I still dream about that turn. Yeah.
And in a convertible, you're adding to it. You're adding the wind. You're adding a lot of the visibility, which like doesn't make it any. It is, but there's a certain amount of being like in an open top roadster when you're doing hairy shit. Where your brain's like, your brain's taking
this
in
is
too
bad.
Much, you know, it's taking in too much data. Like there's something to be said for like looking out the front and then looking out the driver's side window when you're about to go into something hairy and that being like your whole tunnel into what you're going to do. You can only look at what's actually valuable as opposed to a convertible where you look over your shoulder and you're like, it could go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That's what I like about my helmet that I bought.
Exactly.
Because it's like it's kind of small. It's like a smaller view, so you don't get distracted by other shit, which I do like.
You focus. It changes the way you're doing internal math.
Yeah. I completely agree. That Z3, by the way, I'm so thrilled, dude. Check this out. So I was talking to my builder when I was at the guy who works for Deenan now. Is it Deenan or Dinan?
Deenan.
That's what I thought. Which, by the way, did you know that they're located in Centennial?
They might have a shop in Centennial. I thought they were located.
Steve is in. He works out of Centennial.
Really?
Yes. How wild is that? Hmm. Unless my friend is a compulsive liar, which I don't think he is. I think he's like every other car guy, where they're very sure of themselves. But he for sure.
I believe it. I thought it used to be out of Arizona.
Maybe,
but I haven't read much about Deenan tuning since your car was new.
Fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
So he has a race team now. I want to get him on the show so you two can talk about the merits of alternative fuel. I'm so excited to watch y'all duke it out because I love both of you so much. And I can't wait to just be in the background like, ooh, all right, guys, calm down. I'm so pumped. But I was talking to him about the Z3 because they took it apart and redid some stuff on it. And he said that because the T56 transmission is set so far back, there's an adapter that looks kind of like a Z, basically. And that is what is mounted to the shifter. So when I'm shifting, it's actually moving that adapter, which is what's shifting the gears. And he said that it's in kind of an angle. So it's kind of like you're going up. And I'm heavily exaggerating, but you're going up on first and down to second, up to third. So 1.35 is up, 2.46 is down instead of just forward backwards. And I told you this at the last episode when I was in Denver. Yeah. Well, I brought it out here to try it, and I'll be fucking damned, dog. It's working so well.
Nice.
Like I had now, granted. Couple things that are fucked now is I already had them change out the clutch master cylinder, and the clutch master cylinder now it's this huge thing. It's moving a ton more fluid and it's so heavy. It's so heavy that it ended up undoing all the work that those steroid pills did for me. Cause I was like, man, I'm feeling good. And it fucked my back up royally again.
Your heavy clutch.
It's so heavy. Cause I drove it for like 50 miles. Cause I wanted to see if I fixed it. It's not good. Fuck you, dude. Dude, my back is in shambles right now, okay? It's in shambles. So then it probably didn't help that I changed two tires on my EIF 46 too. But
I'm willing to bet that had more to do with it than pressing the clutch pedal.
It's so heavy, dude.
I know.
It's such a heavy clutch.
I know. I've driven racing clutches. I don't like them.
They're very heavy. I hate it. No, it's not the clutch. It's the master cylinder that I don't like.
Oh, it's giving you all that pressure.
It's so much pressure. Yeah. Now, the clutch on the Z3, I love it. It's so much easier to drive and so much smoother than the 5-putt clutch with no springs in the E46. It is so much more manageable.
Yeah.
And traffic and, you know, starting and all that shit. Anyway, let's, you know, one car at a time. So I'm driving this thing and I'm like pulling up. I only had one instance where I couldn't get it like in gears and I kind of banged it a little bit and got it like reset. And then again, if I lift up and pull down, it's shifting fucking fine now. And I was going full throttle with it and I was like really trying to do hard shifts and it was working great, which then I immediately was like, oh, cool. I'm going to keep this now that it's working. And then I was like, you fucking idiot.
No.
Stop. Just put the cover on and sell it.
Keep it. You're an idiot. You already have it. You're going to regret selling it in a year. So what I'd do is just...
Yeah, but what if I want to buy a house?
Fuck a house.
I want to buy a place.
Live in a van. Go full fucking Rockford.
I have one, and I failed that one too.
You just park that thing out on the beach. You live in it. You drive your cars that are fast to and from the van. We'll call you Brent Rockford.
Yeah, hey baby, you want to come back to my place? Cool. And then I open up the handicap door so she can come in.
Yeah, dude, it'll change literally almost probably none of your options with women. I feel like most women who are into you are already into the idea of like...
Would give a fuck about... Yeah, they would not care.
Yeah, they're already like, I don't like the way my life's going, and that man seems like more fun than I'm allowed to have. They're the same women who talk themselves into liking me. No, it's the same thing. Where they're like, he's having fun. Look, he has cars and things. And then they're a part of it for like 6 weeks. And they're like, oh, I get why my life's boring. This is, huh.
This is, I think I would take the stability of boredom over this.
Yeah. Yeah. They'd be freezing in a broken down 62 Buick on the side of I-25 with a snowstorm 6 inches behind us one time before they were like, oh, this guy's a fucking idiot. Like, yeah, a little
dude,
bit.
Anytime I go on a date, I go in my Acura first. I'm like, let's give him a nice soft car that's not loud, that doesn't fucking shift wrong or weird. And then eventually I'm like, oh, you like cars? Well, all right, I'll come pick you up in one of these. And then they're like, let's go in the Acura, unless they're cool.
That's the main reason I'm bummed that the truck got wrecked, because, man, it was fun putting girls in that piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd really find out.
This new one's too nice. They're just going to think...
Oh, dude, every girl I've ever met would be very excited to get in my new truck. Every single one. Because they don't need to be excited about cars to be like, oh my God, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
But putting one in the one that was like rotted out with a fucking exposed foam seat and a lowrider dash with pinstriping all over it and a heater that didn't work. You'd find out real quick whether or not a chick was going to be cool with your car hobby. There was no like, there was no glitter or sparkle of bullshit put on that one at all. It was very quickly you'd find out like, oh, so someday you're going to be mad about me spending money on shit like this. Or like, oh, you're
going to encourage this.
You actually like this. This might be a worse problem.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my buddy's married to someone that loves cars too. And I'm like, that is an expensive relationship.
Nope, can't do it. Or you got to be into different shit. She needs to be in like modern four-wheelers and you need to be into like classic cars, but you guys can't be both excited to spend money on the same shit. That'll end in catastrophe.
Oh man. Dude, so first of all, I struggle with selling the Z3 because I know what's actually going to have to happen to it. I know that if I want it how I want it, it's going to cost me another $10,000-$12,000. And I'm not really looking to do that. So if I sell it, I could probably get 15, maybe 17 for it now that I know that it's working. And then I don't have to worry about it. And then I can put some money into the rear end of the E46. I can put some money towards a house. Why are you looking at me like this? Why do you have this dumb face right now? Because
we've talked about this. Or you don't put any of that money in the Z3 and you drive it like it's fucking stolen.
Yeah, but it keeps breaking, Jake. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, but you fixed the rear end. You fixed the transmission. You fixed
the clunk.
You fixed all the cooling. Oh, really? There's a clunk in the rear end?
There's a clunk in the back, and I think it's I don't know what it is. It sounds like it's – I thought I knew what it was, but I fixed that, and that's not it. It's like anytime I go over like an uneven space, like if I go up a driveway sideways
– it could be a crack in your subframe.
But the subframe's been reinforced. It does sound like a crack in the subframe.
It could be a crack in your unibody right above the subframe.
So why would I want to keep this then? That's a horrifically expensive...
To drive it like it's stolen. You know, it didn't have that much security in its framework. Anything built before 1998. Who the fuck cares? Drive that thing.
This was built in 97, which is hilarious.
Yeah, but I mean, no cars had that in the past. Like, it's not going to fall apart on you because that's got a crack in it. As long as you're not Dukes of Hazzarding the motherfucker.
You just said, drive it like I stole it.
Yeah, not drive it like Batman. Don't jump it in the air and go full Duke Brothers. I'm saying, like, you can drift that thing and drive it real hard. You're not going to make the crack much worse. Who the fuck cares? If it does get worse to where you can see it, weld it.
I mean, but again, the subframe was already reinforced.
Okay, but it could be your unibody. Your frame structure could be cracked.
Right.
I cracked one on a Mini Cooper in high school.
Jake, why are you doing this to me?
I'm just saying, like, that you we've talked about it. Like, you don't need to spend
I was so ready to sell it. I was so ready.
You're out of your fucking mind.
I was gonna have Cinchy post it on my Facebook. I was like, fucking send this out. Here's the shit.
Dude, no. If it wasn't yeah.
I hate you. I'm never not going to have
How much are you going to sell it for? Yeah,
I was trying to get $15,000 for it.
That seems
I was going to list it for $17,000.
That seems like a lot.
Trying to get $15,000. I don't think it's that much.
That e-car I was looking at was only like fucking $14,000. It took him a month e-car? To sell it. The 3 Series with the LS. It was all sorted.
The E36?
Uh-huh.
That was $19,000.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fully sorted with a roof.
Well, I don't know. I think it, Jake, do I need 2 fucking LS swapped BMWs?
You need 4 or 5. What are you even talking about? It's time for us to start getting little ones from the 60s and putting fucking 4-bang LSers in them. The sun is rising on us now, Brent. It is time for us to shine.
Wait, say that again?
We need to start buying 3.0 CSIs, 2.0 CSs, and 2002s, and putting 4-banger LS motors from those rascals in Kansas.
Those blueprint rascals.
Yeah, dude. I want to throw those rascal motors. Do you know about the 2.0 CS?
I don't know about the 2.0 CS.
Nobody does, because everybody in America sucks. It's so cool. It's so fucking cool. The 3.0 is cooler because of the motor, but if you're just going on design, dog, it's pretty hard to beat the BMW 2000 CS.
Is it a 2000 or 2.0?
Depends on the market. 2000.
I see what we're looking at. Yeah. 2000 CS.
With the enclosed headlights, with the shorter front deck than the 3.0, with everything tucked neat. When you pull the bumper off, it's got like a bunch of air fucking vents in the front.
Wait, why don't people like this very much?
People don't know about it, Brent. Let me see if I can find some for sale. People don't know about these. They're out of the. They're a 4-banger Beamer from before the 3 Series. So Americans.
So is the body different from the, is the body different from the 2.0 CS?
No,
it looks different.
Well, it might just be the headlights.
The headlights definitely are looking different.
Yeah.
It doesn't look quite as sporty.
What? Are you looking at a 3?
I don't think it looks quite as fast. The 2.0 CS to the 3.0 CS.
Oh, no, the 3 CS has a 6-cylinder in it, so they had to make the car longer.
Ah, gotcha.
And the 2800 CS, the 2.8 was also the 6-cylinder, so they had to make the car longer to make it fit. That's why the 2000's a better car. Shorter wheelbase, you fit the 4-banger in there from Chevy, all of a sudden you got a rocket ship that nobody can handle, everybody call your god, hide yourself. The volcano's going off. Here's one for 12 grand. I'm just going to send you both of these listings because this is fucking dumb. Especially if you look at what the 3 liters cost. This is bananas. What the fuck? I just put it in the chat. That silver one, dude, rat rod that motherfucker right now, or the blue one. I don't even care if they got rust. I wouldn't fix shit. I'd just go faster than God ever wanted a German car that old to go.
$23,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah, look at what the 3 liter costs. Because they're more like 80 to 200.
Right. I did know that.
Yeah. And this is the same chassis except shorter before they sacrifice something to add a longer
motor. This thing looks like a VW Karmann Ghia.
Except it's got the fucking Knopfhauser kink or whatever the fuck they call it. And the dope ass interior with the big green fucking space. Put a stick in it. Oh my God.
Oh, are you looking at the blue one or the silver one?
I don't give a fuck. I'd get the blue one because it's half the price.
Yeah, the blue one's in some rough shape.
What's wrong with it? Rust?
I mean, there's like a chunk of the car missing on the hood. There is some decent amount of body rust. The paint looks like it was done with a spray can. I mean, the rust looks pretty bad.
Yup.
Interior looks terrible.
Yeah.
All right, let me see what this... Oh, yeah, Karmann. It does look like a Karmann Ghia. That's why.
Yeah, I was going to say, Karmann built the cars for all these fuckers back then.
Really?
Yeah, nobody had their own design house. The same way Fisher does all the GM's cars.
Fisher Price?
No, Fisher. Body by Fisher.
Ah, yes. That's my workout regimen, Body by Fisher.
I wish.
Now, this one for $22,000, I see where that extra 10 grand comes in.
Yeah, and you're getting way a lot of car for that money.
This thing is, I love old BMWs. Oh, that motor looks great in there. I love these motors, but I don't know if I love this car.
With an LS four-cylinder in it? You're out of your cranking mind, buddy.
I mean, I think that'd be cool. I'd almost rather have, like, I don't know.
I know you
a 2002 or maybe a fucking.
You mean the same car, but the one that was designed for a school teacher?
No, that's not it.
Yes, it is. A 2002.
Get a 2002. Put on some cool.
They're the same car, except that one's got an even shorter wheelbase that's too short. It sits up higher and it's narrower, which are all worse things for driving fast. They're the same car.
I guess. I don't know.
That Supra's neat, but I'm more of a two-door Camry kind of guy.
I'm more of a Celica guy?
No, you went two-door Camry. You went two-door Camry.
I don't. Everything's matching numbers. Good for you. I don't know. It's fine. It's not my... I think there are other cars that would rather put a four banger LS in.
Yeah, but that's one of those cars that's too small to put anything bigger than a four cylinder in. So, like, that's a prime candidate.
Christ almighty, this 1973 3.0 CSL.
What is it, 200?
With matching numbers is 244.95.
Yeah. So, see what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're getting almost all the same design. I personally think a better looking front end in person. I've seen them both in person at the same time.
I mean, think of how much money it would cost to redo the interior of this, though.
Like $7,000.
This blue, like, yeah. What?
Like $7,000.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. That's, new suspension, like, it's like a 30. If you were to buy this blue one, that's $11,000. I bet you you'd spend at least double that getting it to where, if not triple, getting it to where you want. Now, granted, you're still under $30,000-$40,000.
I don't know what you misheard about me saying I'd put a motor in it and drive it.
You don't want it to look cool, Jake? You got this dope-ass Chevy. It's not what you're looking for, huh?
That is cool to me. I like rat rods. I like the fact that I could pull up to somebody and be like, look at this fucking idiot and that piece of shit, and then just take off like the cartoon Roadrunner.
Meep, meep.
Yeah,
you should have a little horn where you hit it once and it just goes meep, meep.
They make those.
I think if anything, I want to get like a train horn for my E46.
Chuck Jones and Mel Blanc had to sign off on the horn for the Roadrunners.
Really?
Yeah, Chuck told me about it when I was a kid. He was very proud. He asked me if I knew he found out I was into cars because I saw his old Duesenberg ads that he did when he was a younger artist. And he told me the story about getting paid on the side to bring Duesenberg into Looney Tunes. And then he was like, "You like cars? You ever heard of the Roadrunner?" I was like, "Plymouth Roadrunner, yeah. I'd get a 383 before I'd get the 440. And he was like, "Okay, I don't know that much about." So the horn told me about how him had to approve the horn. And
the Roadrunners honk like a Roadrunner for real? Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
And they had to like tune a horn to do it to Mel Blanc's approval. Mel Blanc, sorry.
LeBlanc.
Well, I grew up with some of his family and they go by Blanc, so it just goes into my head to say it that way, even though he went by Mel Blanc.
Fair.
Yeah, but man, I don't know. That's one of those cars, are like MGAs. Like, I'd love to build an MGA with one of those LSs in it, or an old Porsche 914. Like, that guy we saw with the full blown LS in his 914 was cool and all, but I guarantee
the one at LS Fest,
I guarantee he has more money in that than it makes sense.
Yeah, probably
the amount of engineering that had to go on, and you have to get a front wheel drive LS out of a Impala and then reverse the entire transmission, and like there's so much work and the cost money involved with doing those LS swaps on Porsches.
I bet you Jake,
yeah,
he bought it that way.
He did not. I've watched videos on that car since.
On that orange one?
The red one, yeah.
It was red, you're right.
Yeah, really? He's out of Utah.
The guy who was autocrossing it?
Yeah, I was trying to find videos on that wide body green Corvette that made me change the whole way I feel.
Sick.
Dude, that's
sick.
That's got to be what it feels like to be like 35 and to all of a sudden realize you're gay. Like the way I felt looking at that car had to be like that kind of personal realization because I've hated them. Like I'd talk shit on that car my whole life. I hate them. I've seen millions of them. I fucking hate that car. And that one with a wide body. The most perfect.
It looks so good, dude.
Most
it looks so
perfectly
good.
Proportioned car I've maybe ever seen, ever.
Yeah,
that thing is like Lamborghini Miura beautiful. Once they wind it out, the way he did it, the way he sloped the fenders, the way he incorporated everything into the original body lines, it wasn't boy racer looking. If you didn't know better, and it wasn't sitting right next to another one that hadn't had it done,
you would have thought that's how it's supposed to be.
It'd be hard to explain to somebody who didn't know any better that, like, that's not factory. They'd be like, what part? I don't see anything added on. Like, it was so fucking fantastically done.
It really was, dude.
If that car was any other color, I'd sell organs to buy it.
Jake's not a big green car fan. He thinks it's bad luck.
It is bad luck.
He thinks it's bad luck.
I know it's bad luck.
That's why Aston Martin has not won anything.
Well, not a paycheck. They haven't done well as a manufacturer, and I don't know when was Sean
actually
Connery
Lawrence born? Stroll, dude. Lawrence Stroll brought Aston Martin back to, I believe, a profitable company.
Oh, so that's an accomplishment. It just has to make a little bit of money. It doesn't have to.
Yeah, they were in the hole, dude. They were fucking in the hole. And then Lawrence Stroll comes around for their F1 program. He's like, "I'm going to put my son in the driver's seat and I'm going to sell 100,000 units this
year." And then what else did they do? What else was his big change to Aston Martin that really fundamentally made it not Aston Martin?
That I don't know.
Now what kind of motors do they come with? Hand-built Aston Martin motors or German-manufactured AMG motors?
Yeah, there's that. There's also that.
So if you get rid of the hand-built part of Aston Martin, what do you really got? a Ford with a AMG motor?
You got a high price tag. That's what you got. You got a high price tag.
That's a pretty Mustang.
Oh, man. It's like, well, I mean, and then Ford basically did that with their Jags, how they completely ripped off the Vanquish body to make the XJs or whatever they were.
That's not quite fair. They just both paid the same designer.
Oh, really? It wasn't a Ford thing?
No, it was Ian. Ford owned them.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, so like it was Ian did all the cars. It was one guy did all the cars. But it wasn't like hey, we need you to give us a very Jaguar Aston Martin looking car. It was him being like, I know what's pretty. And drawing the way he draws. And I mean, like, it's fuck Ford and it's red hot ass, right? I'm not that guy that's here for Ford, but that last Mustang's undeniably one of the prettiest fucking vehicles that's ever been made.
It's a pretty one. You're not wrong.
It's hard to beat. The Austins, I don't think, are going to age as well as the Mustang ages. I think the Austins will look like late 90s Austins that looked really great when I was a kid. And kind of look
dumb now.
Overdone now. They just look overdone.
Like over-engineered, you mean?
No, like there's like a little bit too much extra fender. There's a little bit too much.
I see.
Exhaust. Like they're it shows its age. You know when you see like a hot car from 1988 and it literally couldn't be from any other year?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of the Austin,
DeLorean.
A lot of Aston Martins that are fancy from the night from before Ford bought them look very much exactly the year they came out. Like, oh, it's 1993. Look, we put paint masking on the headlights. Just like the kids do with their Volkswagens. Like, oh, good for you. That's going to look dumb in a year.
Oh, those do look so stupid.
Yeah, but at the time, they were very cool. Next to the contemporary cars, they looked good. But with age on it, they look goofy. They look
so old.
They look like movie cars.
This was Jeremy Clarkson's first review as on the night as the 93 Aston.
Yeah.
That's fun.
And they were cool cars, but yeah, they're just fucking goofy. And I think the Mustang will age really well. And I think a lot of the Austins will look like that in 30 years.
Yeah. I mean, the Mustangs have done a good job aging well over their long, illustrious history.
Yeah, so. Other than the early Fox bodies and the Mustang II. And what's the one with the Spanish name?
Yes, the Murcielago.
No, the Rancho.
The Mustang Murcielago.
El Rancho. What did they call it? The notchback 70s one.
I don't know. Dog, I'm a fucking late 90s, early 2000s guy.
The Notchback Mustang might be the coolest one, and nobody wanted it because they offered a fastback, which is probably most of why I think the Notchback's so cool.
Notchback.
Here, I was sending it to you in the chat. Here's one.
I mean, that kind of looks like the... That kind of looks like the... It definitely doesn't look like this. The 60s. The Notchback kind of looks like a... Kind of looks like a Camaro almost.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like Ken's Camaro.
Okay.
Ken from LS Fest.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean with that back end of it? Like, I'm looking at this, like, 1970 coupe. It's called a coupe up, but it's this. It's the Notchback.
The coupe.
I don't know why it says up. For sale. Got it.
Yeah, but if you look at it next to a Boss, they're very different looking cars. Like, the Boss looks so much longer for having that stretched roof line. And this has, like, and you never see these. You never, like, when have you ever seen a Notchback Mustang at a fucking car show?
I didn't even know it existed until you told me this.
And a big part of that...
Because these other ones are just fastbacks, basically.
Yeah, and I think a big part of the Notchback not being super popular is they advertised it by letting Mary Tyler Moore drive them on her show.
Yep.
So I think guys thought it was a chick move.
Girl's car.
Yeah.
I mean, that fastback does look sick, though.
It does, but you'll see a dozen of those every time you go to a car show. You'll never see a Notchback, dude. I've seen four or five in my life that were nice.
That's true.
In person. Four or five of them that were really nice.
All right. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I'm on board, Jake. It does look Camaro-ish, though.
Well, yeah, but it's got the shorter roof, better visibility, because your window's not laid down, so it's technically taller.
You got that little back window, too.
And it looks different. That's the kind of thing that, like, if I drove that fast past you, you'd be like, what the fuck? The front end was all Mustang, and the back end had, like, Mustang lights, but I ain't never seen. Like, you'd be excited about a car you just saw, as opposed to me hauling ass past you in a green fucking Boss, and you'd be like, oh, cool Boss.
There's another one. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. I don't know. I think it's boring going to car shows and seeing Novas and Impalas and fastback Mustangs. And
everyone has them. They're all over the place. Everyone's fucking got them.
It's all the same shit.
Yeah. It is wild. Speaking of Ford, let's talk about this, and then we'll drive the show home.
Nice.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Ford just announced that they are working on a technology to... Fucking, if you don't pay your bills,
oh yeah.
If they don't pay your loan, they're going to just drop the car. Will drive itself back to the repo place.
Yeah, they flick the switch, dog.
Yeah, and that car ain't yours anymore. How wild is that? Which also means that that's hackable.
Yeah,
it's got to be.
I don't know if the computer will allow you to input locations that aren't Ford dealerships.
Gotcha.
So who knows, though? It might not be that hackable.
The one thing I know about Ford, their technology, tip top.
Actually, it's pretty decent.
You think so?
Their technology is. They're like infotainment and computer management and all that shit works really well.
I'll give that to them, yeah. But yeah. I don't think it's unhackable.
Well...
I mean, you've seen Fast and the Furious. They could put, you know, that documentary, Fast and the Furious.
That's the main reason I actually believe that it's probably harder than you think, though, is that movie was so popular that a lot of kids bought laptops. And every car manufacturer figured out, like, the last 10 years that they give, like, Beamer gives each model its own computing language.
What?
Yeah, really? So a 3 Series and a 4 Series use a totally different language in the computer. So if you want to hack Beamers, you better be ready to learn about 9 to 12 languages.
Sweet Jesus.
Yeah, so they've all gotten a lot better at specializing that and coming up with unique encoded like languages for each one. You have to figure out the code to break the code and then rewrite it and code it back to whatever their sliding thing is.
Dude, remember when they when people were able to just scan cards and just fucking open up their doors?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, but all that gets tighter and tighter, but the computer language thing got like overly tight to where now it's even a pain in the ass for the dealership because there's so much different knowledge you have to know. You have to basically have a reference book out all the time.
You know how mad I would be if I walked outside of my driveway after not paying my bills and it's fucking gone.
How much more mad would you be if you were really doing bad and you parked it and you were sleeping in it?
And then you wake up at the dealership.
You wake up en route to the dealership in the back seat. So what's a guy like you and me going to do? Climb over the headrest?
Dude, that's so funny.
Try to regain control of the car that's driving itself? Or just wait till you get to the dealership and then be like, what the fuck is this? I live here.
This was unsafe.
You repoed me too.
That'd be wild.
The brands are going to do it though. That was the thing we said the other day that's 100% true.
I think all of them will do it. Tesla will probably do it if anybody. But Ford's got to get that self-driving fucking technology down. What if it kills someone on the way back from a repo?
Oh, that'll probably happen. The Teslas have killed quite a few people recently.
Yeah, they keep it quiet.
Oh, I know.
They're making all that money, baby.
But
Tesla's growing.
But I see it.
Yeah. It's a nightmare. Anyway, well, hopefully our cars will never be repoed because they can barely drive themselves, let alone be driven.
So. My cars are paid for. That's the benefit of driving old shit.
Yeah, for real. I would never want to own or like have a payment on a car. My friends keep telling me that I need to upgrade and like start like leveling up. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to have a payment for a car that I'm going to have to maintenance. Let me just buy it outright and maintenance it then.
Yeah, they're not thinking about it hard.
No. Nope. Well, anyway, that was a good episode, Jake. That was fun.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Tell me what you think I should do about my Z3, if I should keep it or if I should make these terrible life decisions like Jake is convincing me to do. Because I say, sell it, make some money, buy a house.
If you can hear me, Jake says,
Jake says, keep it, fuck the house, live in the car, live in a van.
Live in the van, Brent Rockford, solving them files.
My buddy does still want to sell me that van for like, it's like 20 grand though, but it's like, it was a 28 passenger van or something. It's huge. You could put a car in it. I didn't tell you about this.
Oh, you did show me that one. Yeah, that's dope. Yeah.
I could live in that thing.
Yeah, dude, and have your car in it too. Now that's, you're driving around with your garage? Whoa.
That's pretty cool.
Whoa.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Whoa.
That would have made the Fonzie's dick hard.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Share us with your friends. Give us a review. Like our podcast. And we'll see you guys next week with some more car talk.
Bye-bye. Bye.